Welcome to the Tales for Longbox podcast. This is episode 222. 222. That's correct, yes. What we are reading. Yes, it's a lot of numbers, man. I am Chris Mosby.
I am way behind in my reading, Caleb Gerard.
That's okay.
And I am Murray Fox.
No Appellate.
And this week we are going to talk about what we are reading. Let's see. Well, I've came up with a topic, which that's three in a row for me. I'm doing pretty good.
You can take next week off.
Yeah, I think I will. Okay. I had a phone call, but nope, there it is. Yeah, okay, I don't care. I don't know anybody in Alabama. Okay, what were we reading?
You don't know anybody in Alabama?
Well, I'm sure I do, but, you know, they're calling at the wrong time, so it's just tough noogies. What were we reading? Let's see. Well, one that I read that just came out, and I'm glad I did, was the new Dynamite Entertainment came out. Got the license to do James Bond comics. I don't know. Has James Bond ever been in comics before?
Yes.
Okay, well, I don't ever recall. I never read it.
And Murray, has James Bond ever been done in comics?
Yes.
And who did it? Who did it particularly... chauvinistic version of James Bond.
Oh, well.
Howard Chaykin.
Oh, John Byrne. Thank you very much.
What? Really?
Really officially was him?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Huh.
Yeah. Many moons. I thought you would know that, Murray. Sorry. Yeah,
not know that.
Huh. I had no clue. Chaykin, so anyway. Oh, go ahead.
Was it good?
Yes, it was. It was Warren Ellis. He usually does pretty good with. He did a good job. He does a good job with the. Or is that Garth Ennis I'm thinking of? One of those Ennis boys does good with the war stuff. And this one did good with this one with James Bond. I think it had.
That'd be Garth Ennis, by the way.
Garth, yes, that's what I thought. Warren, I realized that after I said it that was the wrong one. This had the. It started out with excitement, kind of like the movies always do, some kind of deal happening before the credits run, and I liked it, that, and the art is good, not sure who that is, but there's some surprises in there. Okay, by the way, we're a spoiler podcast. I'm wondering how long before somebody says something about M and Moneypenny both being black.
Which, I don't know. That's you just said it. Boom.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, I'm sure somebody's getting
mic drop.
Yeah. Poof. You know, they don't have as much problem with that as we seem to do in America. Not me included, mind you. But I was shocked to see that. I don't know why. I guess because they've never been played in the movies that way, but I guess it doesn't really matter. They got the guy who's playing Q is nothing like... I think John Cleese is the last one that did it that I can remember.
No, there was a kid who played Q in the...
Oh, that's right, the newer ones.
Yeah.
You're right. Well, this guy was not either in the comic. But yeah, it's a nice. It had the Bond feel to it. Had the action. Had the smartassery, and they didn't make him. You know, like they've been doing in the comics lately. They'll, you know, have a character that's been around for 60 years or whatever, and then the movie comes out with it, and then they start drawing him like the actor. All of a sudden, they didn't do that. He's got black hair and just. Doesn't look like anybody, really. None of the other Bonds. So, I always thought that was kind of a cheat.
Well, the theory is that James Bond is a title. It's not actually their real name that they inherit.
Oh, really?
The identity of James Bond. Yes.
I did not know that. Is that what it is in the books, even?
I don't know if that's a book. That might be one of those things that after the fact, a lot of the Bonzian people decided was the case.
Hmm. Well, that would make sense.
So, that you get 007 along with the name James Bond, or something like that.
Hmm. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I gave it several stars, so it was very good. There's my
fun fact about the original Miss Moneypenny. She used to write for one of our local papers.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Lois Maxwell was after she was Miss Moneypenny.
Huh.
She was like a columnist for the Toronto Sun.
I'll be doggone.
She sounded very refined and.
Back with Sean Connery.
Yeah, she was like with Sean. I want to think she was through Roger Moore, and whenever they.
Yeah, she was around for a while. That actress.
It's. Uh huh.
Interesting.
I'm trying to remember when they first youngified Miss Moneypenny. Like. Was it Timothy Dalton, or was it after that?
Oh, God. The Timothy Dalton movies have been wiped from my memory, I think. That's a good...
Living Daylights was good. Don't...
Well, yeah, I just went downhill from there, unfortunately.
Okay. Fair enough.
I got that anniversary set with all the Blu-rays. Love those movies.
You are a true fan.
Yeah. The first date my mom and dad went on, they went and saw Thunderball.
And then there was Chris.
Yes. So there you go. That and the Batman kind of thing is in my blood, because before they went on a date, dad would have to wait until the Batman TV show was over before they could go. See, that's what it all comes back to.
Well, speaking of Warren Ellis, I bring it back on track,
okay.
I read Karnak number one from the Inhuman Karnak from the Marvel Universe. And
did they not call it the Amazing Karnak? Because they really should have.
They should have.
They might have got sued.
Boy, did they miss an opportunity there. It would have been the all-new Amazing Karnak.
Yes.
Well, that's fine.
Yes.
They need to get Amazing in there.
I'm sure that if I had read it carefully, he squeezed the term in there, because Warren Ellis has a little bit of a sense of humor. It's very cool, actually. I for those who like the idea of the low-powered hero who simply finds the flaws in things, that is the whole premise for the character. His superpowers, he sees the flaws in things, which they retroactively made Karate Kid's power a few years ago as well.
Yeah, I remember that.
I don't know if it was retroactive.
I'm not sure if they ever. I think it was just a fan theory.
Nope. Nope.
Okay.
It was in Adventure number 3.
Oh, good lord.
Are you just pulling this out of your ass? Or you really
not.
Know?
It's 3-something something with. Okay, I'm getting out my digest. I'm watching.
Is it the
over
one with
the shelf?
Is it the one where they were
the
trapped? Trapped on Talik 5, Talik 4.
Yeah.
I thought it was the one where they were trapped in that, and it was Mark Waid, back when Mark Waid was doing it.
No. This is
that far back?
Murray's going way old school. This is Shadowless.
You betcha.
No
uh-huh.
I didn't realize
okay,
it
no escape for Fat Kid from the Jewel Jail. Hang on.
All right, okay, well, continue with what you're talking about while he's looking at that.
Oh, I know what he's talking about. And you're right, Murray, that maybe it wasn't retroactive, but it certainly wasn't initially his power. His power was always he had no power, and he just was super karate boy. Anyhow, Karnak number one is really good. He's a monk, essentially, or head of a small religious sect within the Inhumans who helps mentor the more intellectual-based Inhumans and It's got a crossover with the new with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. characters are in there.
Yeah, they're big on that now.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, no, no. They will dump them in as much on you as they can. The art was beautiful. Gerardo Zaffino, I think, is the guy's name.
I'll have to check that out. I have not read any of those yet, I don't think.
He does his whole, he explodes steel doors, he slices a bullet in half, you know, things like that. It's really
okay, yeah, I gotta read that one.
And he said there's a scene in there where he identifies a Hydra agent disguised as a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent because the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent smiles at him. That's the flaw, is that no S.H.I.E.L.D. agents ever smile at him.
Funny.
It was. They got rid of his big head. He doesn't have the big bulbous head like he did, like he normally was drawn in the Kirby days.
I remember that.
And subsequently. But even found the his biggest challenge, though, was he found the flaw of death, and he came back from the dead.
That's right. He was dead, wasn't he?
That's it. He committed suicide. He died. He dove out a window, and then at some point, I don't know which writer it was, brought him back, and they used the premise that he could see the flaw in the death realm, and poof, he's back. Huh. He's alive. Anyhow,
flaw
you went...
and death, huh? That's pretty heavy.
You went Warren Ellis, so I figured that was.
No, I did. I'd forgotten that he wrote that, so that's a good one.
It came out what 2-3 weeks ago, I think.
Probably so.
So.
I don't think I've read any of those all new, all higher prices.
I just read Spider Gwen Volume 2, Number 1 earlier today, and it was cute. It's cute. They're doing tons of. Cute with the popularity of Ms. Marvel. Cute is back. Popular the Ms. Marvel Batgirl vibe.
That's good. I'm all about the cute.
About the cute.
Mm-hmm. But if time provides, I mean, I'm not one to say I've got a million hours worth for reading, but it's worth the effort.
Interesting.
Very another cool. Spider character. There's even a joke in the latest Spider-Man 2099 where the guy's he's trying to quit because he tells Parker, "There's so many of you running around anyhow. What do you need me for?" Miles, funny. you got Spider Girl, you got Silk, you got Spider Woman.
Yeah, no kidding. It's like the Bat Universe now.
It is.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, I was kind of not super correct, but I was not wrong either.
Okay.
So Karate Kid's trapped in a diamond, and he says every diamond has natural planes of structural weakness. Usually it takes an expert to spot them, but in a stone this size, maybe. So while it was maybe not his power, it was set up right there from close to the beginning. For someone else to grab and work with.
Yeah, because I always thought that. Okay, that's fine.
You're right. It could have been Wade Kitson then that really made it an official power in the three boot.
Yeah, because that's when I first heard it, and he found a flaw in a force field. So, okay. Your turn, Murray.
Alrighty, I have read. I picked up Paper Girls.
Oh, you stole mine!
Paper Girls.
You pick it up too? Did you like it?
I actually heard of that.
I haven't, but a coworker of mine loves it, so it's in my pile.
Huh. Yeah, I picked it up. I picked up the second issue this week. Picked up the first issue, I guess, a month ago.
Sounds about right.
And the first issue is a great deal. It's like $2.99 and 800 million pages and no ads. And it's a great little suck you in and get you started issue.
Interesting.
Is it a good replacement for Saga?
Like in what way?
Like in I love Saga and I was sorry to see them stop for the time being. I was hoping I like Brian K. Vaughan's writing an awful lot, so
yeah, I do too. I Yeah, I like his writing. I tend not to like his endings, but I'm hoping.
Or lack of.
Or lack of, yeah. However, this book isn't ending, so we don't have to worry about that yet. It is good. I don't know where it's going yet. Like, it's got... The premise is that it's four teenage girls, young teen girls, I guess, who are paper girls, delivering the paper in the 1980s.
Okay.
And they are rocking the 1980s hair. And it's by Brian K. Vaughan and Cliff Chang. And
Underwoman.
Yeah, so the art is beautiful. The colors are really cool, too. Like, it's kind of... kind of muted. Like, the first issue takes place at night, so everything is kind of muted anyway, but the second issue is still kind of follows along. So there's like one or two main colors per page with just a couple of little bright spots that jump out when needed, but it looks
like
good.
Is it like those flat colors they used on Wonder Woman with his art?
Yes, I think it is. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, those were always very muted.
Yeah, like it's not that it's muddy and it's not that it's colorless. It's just that it's a very limited palette, muted palette, but it's good. It works. It really works for the series. So the girls are paper girls and they're delivering their papers early in the morning, and strangeness ensues. I don't know whether it's going to be kind of spooky horror or whether it's going to be sci-fi or whether it's a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. But it's cool. It's got me hooked.
Cool.
It has got me hooked.
My coworker, he IM'd me. He lives in Texas, and I'm the one who got him hooked on comics. And he's like, "Have you read this?" I'm like, "I didn't even know it existed." And so it's definitely got this brand new comic book guy hooked.
Isn't it one of those new Vertigo books?
New Image.
It's an Image book. Okay, I saw that listed on Comixology, and it looked interesting.
It is. It's you kind of got. There's like some. I want to say mummy-wrapped, zombie-like creatures.
Of course there
about.
Are.
But they're kind of electronic, and there's a robot that kind of appears, and there's a twist at the end of the first issue that's designed to grab the reader. Like, it's not really a twist to the to the characters. And it's not a twist that's really followed up on in the second issue, but it's definitely something out of left field. Like you're left going, huh?
Well, there was stuff in Saga that wasn't revisited for like issues and on end. I mean, you could go.
Yeah, well, and I mean, it's not that it's not but as it's like a last page reveal, and you're like, oh, huh? And you're because all along you're thinking. Maybe alien invasion, maybe zombie invasion, maybe something. And then you see the robots, and then you get this last page reveal, and you're suddenly thinking, oh, maybe it's something else.
Zombie
and
robots? Nobody's done that yet.
Well,
they have. But we'll get into that.
Crap. Okay.
And then you get into the second issue, and that last page reveal is, it's touched on, it's mentioned, but it's not the focus. And the second issue is much more... I guess it expands the mystery a little bit. The first issue, because it's taking place at 4 in the morning or 5 in the morning, you're not seeing a whole lot of characters anyway, because really there aren't a lot of people up at that hour. But by the second issue...
You're right there.
Uh-huh. It's a little later in the day, and you're starting to get the sense that people are missing, and it's sort of the reaction of the... of the four paper girls and one of their moms to what's going on, and their mom has a very particular point of view, which kind of slants the issue, but but I don't think that's the direction it's going. Anyway, it's well worth a read. Uh-huh. Good, strong start. Beautiful artwork. Cheesy letter page.
I've seen a lot. It seems like a lot more people are doing that again.
He doesn't do that whole thing where his ego stroking in the letters page, does he? Like he did in Saga.
It's not there yet. Okay.
Well, if it's your letter page, what else are you gonna do?
It's irritating.
Oh yeah, I don't like the Saga letter pages.
I haven't read that in a long time.
Yeah. Here's what they're like. Brian K. Vaughan says, "Oh, I'm too hip to use the computer. Please write me in hand and paper and blah, blah, blah."
Really?
And everyone falls over backwards and they're like, "Oh, Brian K. Vaughan, you changed my life. I'm naming all my children after you. Blah, 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 blah."
Okay, good to know.
I'm going to spend hours and hours making a spider costume.
Ugh.
He's all, "Oh, no, don't do that. Not for me. I'm not worth that kind of effort. However, if you
please
do it,
please send pictures."
Yeah. And I'll give you a prize.
Yeah.
My autograph.
Awesome. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. Now, that's these funny. Letter pages, these letter pages are more, they're, if I kind of get the sense that they are supposed to be, like, from the 1980s, sort of. Like, so if you're writing to, you're not writing to Brian K. Vaughan, you're writing to Petey Roy Paperboy, who's the mascot for the American Newspaper Delivery Guild. I mean, they're a little pretentious, a little goony, but they're at least on point for, like, you know, it's a book about paper girls, so, you know, it's part of the ambiance. Mm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I like the idea. When my friend pointed out to me, I like the idea that it's set in the 80s, and apparently the voice, it feels genuine 80s.
Yeah. Like, they drop references, but not a ton. Like, these are 13-year-old girls, so they're right. Not, you know what I mean? Like, so their references are appropriate to what 13-year-old girls would be referring to.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it lots, and I would highly recommend it.
Cool.
Well, and Chris, for your robot zombies, you need to look for the Secret Wars crossover book of Marvel Zombies meet Age of Ultron.
Jeez.
And wow. They zombify, or they robotize these zombies to go against a bunch of superheroes.
Wow.
It's written by James Robinson, so it's, you know, it's tongue in cheek, and it's got a lot of
well, as long as they do it like that, I don't have a problem with it. But if they're trying to be serious, I'm like, oh, really? Come on.
No, it's the Marvel Zombies. I mean, which mm-hmm. was never ever ever serious. If you've ever read any of those series, there's
no, I haven't.
No seriousness whatsoever. So going from the completely cool 1980s book to the completely absurd Secret Wars crossover. Sorry, the segue was, you gave me the segue, but I
it's all right. It's cool, man. It's cool.
Let's take it.
Let's see. Mr. Greg Rucka, which I'm a big fan of, has put out a new book with Nicola Scott. Last week, or week before last, actually, I think, called Black Magic, with a K. It's about a Portsmouth, however the hell you say it, Oregon. Police officer, a female, because he's all about the strong female character. She's a police officer. She also happens to be a witch. Interesting, you kind of get, you know, thrown into it. It's funny, he shows her badge and it's 333. But anyway, it was, I don't know if I'll read more of it or not. It I don't know. It's probably Sometimes his stuff is a slow burn. It's kind of like a slow burn. I won't give away too much of the plot, but there's a hostage situation, and there's some nakedness in there, but it makes sense, and it's almost black and white. They're kind of doing it like Sin City does. It's more of a sepia tone instead of black and white, and then certain things are color to make it, you know, stand out. So it's interesting. And her art is really good in this, which she always was, but it seems a lot more, I don't know, the word I would use would be advanced than the last time I saw her art. So
is magic part of that world, or is this cop like the anomaly?
No, there's more. There's more people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it starts out during a, well, you know, depends on who you talk to, a Satanist-looking type ceremony, and they're all standing out there in robes, and they got, you know, candles and a pentagram, and there's men and women and funky-looking knives, and they're all naked underneath their outfits, unfortunately.
Well, aren't we all? Aren't we all?
Well, I know, but, you know, the robes, and then she gets a call for, gets a call to go, you know, be a cop. So in the middle of the ceremony, and then they're like, all of a sudden, everybody's talking normal. It's kind of weird. So yeah, it's more like, it's like our universe, but except for magic is real, the witchcrafty magic, that kind of magic.
Sounds like when they would go into the holodeck and have their, and then all of a sudden they'd have to revisit the. All of a sudden, be back to being Enterprise crew people.
Yeah, almost like that, yeah. But, I mean, it's funky. Very interesting. It's one of those ones where you're not sure who there is no really good guy and bad guy, it looks like to me. And the funny thing is, another thing is the show's about the creators. Almost, there's only two out of the one, two, three, four, five. There's six people that work on it, and most of them are women. So it's kind of weird. I mean, he's like, he's going out of his way to work with women creators.
Second,
I guess
it's
not. I shouldn't say that's weird. I should say that's cool. That's what I should say.
Who's the publisher?
It's Image.
Image, okay.
And there is a 11-page free preview, because I was looking, while you guys were talking, I was looking at the smart lists on the Comixology map, and they have recommended for you, and I was scrolling through there, and there was the 11-page preview, so you can check it out for free before you buy it. 11 pages is a pretty good chunk to figure out if you like it. But I'm a big Rucka fan. Lazarus, Stumptown, and a couple others, and I saw that, and I said, well, I'm going to check that out. A new Rucka book. Awesome.
And it worked out.
Yeah, I think I probably will. I'm still kind of on the fence, but it looks interesting. Which I totally skipped the one I was going to do next, because I found it again. Anyway, who's up?
Oh, I will go with, and it just finished, actually. It was a miniseries, a Star Wars miniseries from Marvel, and it's Lando.
Oh, really?
Charles Soule doing the writing, who's hit and miss for me, but he hit on this one definitely. And,
yeah, he is too for me.
He definitely pulls off the whole rogue thing that Lando always kind of was in the two movies.
Mm-hmm.
Does the art? Alex Maleev is on the art, so it's really pretty to look at as well.
That's an interesting combo.
Yeah, it's a heist book, you know. It has the origin of his sidekick, the Lobot guy, the bald guy with the headphones on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Give him a personality, because if you read any of the Star Wars wiki stuff, he does in fact have a history, but no one ever obviously visited it until now, or at least that I know, maybe in some of the books. But it's really good. He hijacks a starship thinking he's going to get a bunch of swag. By turning over the starship, he gets to keep whatever's inside, and it turns out it's a starship owned by the Emperor, and it's filled with a bunch of what's the word I'm looking for? Dark side, not dark side. What would it be? The bad Jedi's.
Sith.
Yeah, it has a bunch of Sith artifacts inside that start corrupting everyone.
Fun.
It's incredibly decompressed. I mean, there's really, it could have been done in maybe two issues, and they stretched it over to five. But it was well done. Good dialogue.
That's cool.
Good history. Lando always kind of irritated me, to be honest with you, but this worked out.
Oh, Lando? Yeah.
Yes.
They've had him on that Star Wars Rebels cartoon, and he was a scumbag on that one, in my opinion, anyway.
Billy Dee did his voice on that too, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, yeah. They got David, Ed, the guy that does Darth Vader's doing the Darth Vader character's voice too. So,
James Earl Jones.
That's it. I was gonna say David Prowse, but that's the guy that.
That's the body.
Yeah. So
yeah, it's a fun book. I mean, I've been trying to keep up on not all of the Star Wars books from Marvel because all of a sudden there's just a gaggle full.
That's their baby. They're gonna jump on it with both feet. I don't blame them, really.
Yeah,
they
wanted to. If they wanted to just print money, they could just publish a bunch of Star Wars comics, and
yeah,
it would be fun.
And some of them are good. One of the ones I'm gonna bring is one of them, but you know. We'll get to that.
I didn't like the Leia one. I started reading it and I liked the premise, but then was it Wade? It was, yeah. Busiek.
No, it
was Wade.
It was Wade. I never read it. I should have.
Yeah, the first issue was good. Second issue dropped off, and I just never got back to it.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I was going to read it and never did.
Well, if you're looking for, I'm sure it'll be in trade paperback before the movie comes out in a few weeks. So, Lando, Marvel Comics.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Gotcha.
What you got, Murray?
I have been trying out the new Archie series.
Ooh. Yay!
Which one in particular?
Not Jughead.
Oh, okay.
The other one, like Archie.
Archie? Okay.
Yeah. Jughead's never been a favorite. But regular Archie, it's not bad. It's not bad at all. It's kind of slow, maybe? I don't know.
Slow, huh?
Well, okay. I mean, it's slow is not the right word, because it's got a story in each issue. Each issue certainly tells a beginning, middle, end, and it's just that it's if it were coming out more frequently, then it would, because really, I mean, they're doing teen soapy stuff, right? So waiting a month between every issue is tough when really... Oh, shoot, did I just shut you off?
No, you're still there.
Good. I thought I hit the wrong button. Anyway, like waiting a month in between is a long time when really they're telling really small, little... They're telling like little stories about teens, you know? So it's good. Like, it's good. It's good stuff. I like what Wade's doing. I like his approach.
Oh, that's right. Wade is doing that, isn't he?
Yeah, Mark Wade.
It'll be a good trade paperback.
It will. It'll totally be a good trade paperback. Yes. And the art is good. Like, it's Fiona Staples, and it's...
Oh, yeah.
It's cool, too. Like, it's very well done. He's got a good voice for the characters. None of his takes on the characters are jarring yet. Like, his Jughead seems fine, his Archie seems fine. I think his Betty and Veronica might be the area that loses me, maybe.
What,
I'm not sure.
They're like secretly in love with each other and hate Archie, or
no.
Now, see, I'd read it then. No, I'm just sorry. That's
in the setup for the series.
Yeah.
Betty and Archie are broken up. They were a couple. Something has happened. We don't know what it is. It's the lipstick incident. They've talked about this for 3 issues straight. It's we don't know what it is. But they're broken up. But they were clearly tight, and they were seen as the dream couple in Riverdale or whatever. And now Veronica's here, and you know Archie's made. I mean, it's the classic triangle. I just don't know what angle they're going with Betty and Veronica. I don't know if they're going to go with pitting them against each other. Mm-hmm. Or whether they're going to eventually be friends, or whether they're, like, the best Betty and Veronica stories are, they're really good friends, they fight a little bit, but, you know, like, they're friends, whereas I'm not sure that Wade is going that route. I think mm-hmm. he's going more the CW route, where they're going to be...
Yeah, I was wondering if you heard about
not
that.
Not super friendly. Oh, yeah. I saw the... Whoa. Yes, I saw that posted, that they're going with a TV series, potentially, and... Yuck.
Yeah, the whole idea of Veronica being they allude to the fact that she was on a Kardashian type reality show, or maybe it was a Big Brother type show, or
you know,
something.
I think that would be actually perfect for that character, the way Betty is. That makes perfect sense.
No, that was Veronica.
Oh, Veronica, that's what I'm talking. That's what.
Well,
I mean.
And you know, it makes sense for her. Yeah. I don't. That's fine. I don't
it might not play out on TV very well, but it I can see that being done. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like what they're doing with the lodges, though. The whole idea of him coming in and basically, you know, buying up land in Riverdale. For some reason, that storyline really appeals to me, because that's what Lodge would do. Absolutely, 100%.
That makes sense. Yeah. Very interesting.
You've got to try the Jughead. Try the Jughead book.
Is it good?
It was goofy. It was goofy fun. The premise will go stale after a while as it you know.
Is this zombie Jughead or? Oh, okay.
it's the same universe as this new Archie series.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And it's basically him not giving a crap, and then him finding the thing in his world that he gives a crap about, which is they a new principal comes in and takes away his cafeteria food. So.
Oh, okay.
What? Oh, poor Juggy.
They fire Mr. Weatherby, and the new principal starts to change everything at the school.
And that freaks him out.
Well, gonna take away his cafeteria food. Not everything until new principal mm-hmm. saying we're gonna do this, gonna do that, and then he walks in the cafeteria to get his lunch and it's gruel, and then he has a mission. So.
Oh, I see. Very nice.
But the new Archie series is fun. I think we've all read Archie at one time or another, right?
Yeah, I have.
When Just I last kid. Week.
Richie, well, yeah, the last week or so.
It's a good summer read.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, what do I got? Oh, okay, Rick Remender has done it to me again. He has another new sci-fi type series out, and I'm getting it on the ground floor. It came out, first issue came out 2 months ago, and only 2 issues have come out. It's called Tokyo Ghost. And it is a far future cyberpunk kind of thing where media is in your face, can be in your face all the time. One of the characters is addicted to it. He's got like a helmet on, and he's got all these little like 30, 40 windows of all these different programs he's watching at the same time while he's doing what he's doing. And the two main characters are like bounty hunters, and it's a cool story. And you know, in the letters column, he talks about how, you know, technology is taking over and everybody stares at their phones and doesn't talk to each other and everything. So it's kind of interesting. So
wow, he's really stretching with that particular premise.
Yeah, it's, well, you got to read it to kind of see it's done. Yeah, well, he even admits, I mean, that was part of his purpose, but it's I don't know, I like it. he's you know, he doesn't hold anything back, I guess, is why I like his stuff. It's a little bit, it's almost over the top, though, with the over your in-your-faceness. But I still like it, so that's one of the ones I've been reading.
Remender's always good. I mean, he's I can't think of anything off the top of my head that I haven't liked by him, so...
Well, so far, I've liked his creator-owned stuff better than the other stuff I've read.
All the Marvel stuff? Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, because I really didn't like that first run of Uncanny X-Men he did, where they, you know, stole Professor X's brain and put it in the Red Skull, and that was... It was crap.
Oh, the Uncanny Avengers stuff.
Avengers,
right,
that's what I meant. Avengers, Uncanny Avengers, yeah. That whole thing, like,
good
yeah.
point. You know what? I had forgotten about that. So you've corrected me. There is something by him that I didn't like.
I hated that. And then I don't know what made me read Black Science, but I don't know, something different. Every once in a while, I like to just pick something at random when they have sales, like get a trade of it and see what it's like, and really enjoyed it. So. But wait, doesn't Remender do East and West, East of West?
Or is that that's Hickman.
Hickman? Yeah. Okay, yeah, I knew it was one of those types. But yeah, Remender, he quit doing Marvel altogether and did this.
He quit cold turkey.
Yep, he's doing only doing creator-owned stuff, which, I mean, it's good, so...
Well, as long as he can sell it to Hollywood, why not, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Is that what he's doing? He's just another miniseries trying to get a movie? I didn't know he's got
sure.
any movies.
They're not going to make money off the books, ever. I mean, that's just not going to happen.
True.
I mean, it's, you know, Kirkman doesn't make his nut from Walking Dead, the comic. He makes his nut from Walking
yeah.
Dead, the TV show.
Right.
So.
True.
As
I
much
spent
as
it was a long time.
As cool as it would be to think that someone got rich from doing comic books, there's none of them ever got rich.
Well, they can make a living doing it.
Yes.
Not
yes.
maybe not a comfortable living, but
not on the creator-owned stuff especially. So
you know, it just depends on. Well, the more I would imagine, the bigger you are, the better deal you get.
Again, Bendis again makes, you know, he makes his money from his other stuff, as does, you know, Jeff Johns makes his money from, you know, the TV stuff and so on. It's just...
Well, all the books that they've been putting out with his name on it. The third volume of the Green Lantern Omnibus coming out.
He's going back to Aquaman.
Yeah, I know. They got to have an Aquaman book for some reason. So everybody hated Cullen Bunn, which I didn't realize that they canceled or he's quit all their other books too. Aquaman was the last one because they canceled Sinestro.
Did they?
Yeah, I read a deal on about him quitting because of all the negative press, and everybody was bitching about it before it even came out. And he was just it soured him on it, and he didn't. He said I didn't wasn't doing my best work, so I decided to go ahead and quit. And so I guess they're bringing them in on it.
All right. Well, bully
Johns,
for them.
Yeah, Johns and the rest of them because it sold so good. But I think he can only do what he was at one point was told he can only do one book a month, which I think is as much as we give him crap. He does do a lot better job than some of the other stuff that's out there. If he's given the chance. Though I'm kind of... This whole Darkseid War thing is a little ridiculous with all the one-shots. yeah, whatever. Just move on.
He didn't write those, so...
Well, no, but they're taking a break from it to do them.
Good point. Well, they're going to stretch that story out as long as they did Forever
oh, yeah.
Evil.
Yeah, and then everything will be wrapped up in 1 month.
You're kidding, 3 pages.
Yeah, true. And blah, 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 we're done. Though it
okay,
was
well,
kind of cool.
If you want some old school stuff, Titans Hunt.
Yes, I did like
fun.
That actually.
Fun. I'm looking forward to seeing how they integrate the really crappy Wonder Girl or Donna Troy from Wonder Woman, and I'm looking forward to their take on Colin Bunn's Garth from Aquaman. Speaking of.
Yeah.
See, I segued. See the segue?
That was very good.
Mm-hmm.
And they're using Grayson. They're using the current version of Grayson and the current version of Roy Harper from Red Hood and Arsenal.
Yeah, I'm surprised they're doing that.
So it's fun. It's cool. You know, old school. You know, let's go ahead and see if we can get some of that 1990s 80s money.
Mm-hmm.
And. It's so far so good. I mean, it's only one issue deep, but
yeah. I keep hoping they do something with the Legion, like they did with the Crisis, Superman and Lois with the baby and everything.
Well, apparently they can.
I mean, I don't see why they couldn't. Because technically, I mean, they could do it with the back in their future because they existed. After the crisis, because that was their past.
Or will exist. Will exist.
Yeah, true. I mean, they could do it.
Has there been any Legion news at all? I mean, I've fallen off social media almost completely.
No, there's nothing. And I think it's going to be quite a while before anybody does. That whole deal that Lemire did, I think, left a bad taste in everybody's mouth. Even people that like the Legion. I thought, oh, God, it was so bad. Because that goes with me with Lemire. Most of the time, I really don't like his work. I feel bad about it because everybody else thinks he's awesome, but that's just my opinion, you know. I think some of the original stuff I've seen him write seemed a lot better than the Hero. Well, no, that Green Arrow run he did was really good.
And so was his. His Hawkeye run, and
His Hawkeye. See, I never read that, but he did Superboy pretty good there for a while.
Yeah, well, he's going to be doing Old Man Logan with Sorrentino, who he did Green Arrow with.
Yeah, I'll have to look at that.
It will be beautiful looking.
Yeah, it will be. They did a good job when they were together. That's for sure.
Yep, they're a good team.
Yeah. Right. Very interesting.
Fingers crossed. There's so much other stuff I'm reading. I could. Walking Dead has been dragging its ass, but it's still good. It's,
yeah, I'm. I am two trades behind. No, three trades behind. I have two I haven't even opened in the plastic. So, yeah, I'm way behind on that.
I think the new omnibus is out, so I have to get that.
Oh, that? Yeah.
The new phone book.
Yeah, I always get them in the hardcovers. I can't read them monthly. It's too stressful. I get them, I sit there, and I read the entire hardcover in one sitting, well, usually. I'll probably get the one before it, which I already started reading number 9, to refresh my memory. And then I read the whole thing, and then I don't touch it until the next one comes out.
Oh, you got some gnarly stuff coming up.
Oh, I think I read some of 10. But yeah, because that's when, spoilers for anybody that don't know, 9's when Glenn and Abraham lose it in the book.
Oh, there's more coming. There's so much more.
Oh, I know. I'm sure there is. It's a hard, they don't spoil it as much as they used to. They'd rather spoil the show, which if anybody watches that, we've got Glenn's up in the air whether he's alive or not.
I haven't seen this week's yet, so or last week's.
Last week's it didn't have anything to do with it. It was all Morgan. Morgan backstory.
No, the next one. Carol episode, but
yeah.
Yes.
If you're listening to this on Monday, it would be the last night's. But as we were recording, it's tomorrow's. Timey-wimey.
Head hurt.
Yeah.
The Batman and Robin Eternal thing is turning out to be pretty good. Gotham Academy keeps chugging along.
Yeah. What else? Let's see.
Injustice: Gods Among Us just ended year 4, and they're finally going to wrap it up with year 5. So if you haven't been reading it, don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Actually liking the Green Lantern story that's going on.
Oh, the art, and too, Billy Tan. I love my Billy Tan art. Yeah. He's so good.
The Superman books I'm actually enjoying with that storyline going on. I have got 4 or 5 issues of Justice League 3001 and Batman Beyond I haven't read. Oh, hey, Murray, jump in anytime, man.
Well, see, here's the thing.
We're going free
for reading a lot.
Oh, really?
I've dropped Flash. I've dropped Wonder Woman.
Jeez. Go ahead.
I'm dropping lots, but I'm liking
Wonder Woman
I'm reading. I'm liking the stuff I'm reading, but there's just not a lot of it anymore.
What about that
new one? If you want your Legion fix, sort of, and it was not a great book, but it had Legion references in it, tell us.
Oh, I did read the first issue of that, and it was not... Yeah, there was some Legion stuff in there. I don't even know if there's been any more issues out, but I forgot. Twilight Children.
Oh, I want to pick that up, but I can't find it.
Well, it's on Comixology.
No, but is it on, does DC have a Vertigo app?
No, it's all in there, with everything else.
Yeah, but when you click their Vertigo link, they have nothing except Astro City.
Well, just search for Twilight Children, because it was in the normal...
No, they don't have it. I don't want to go into real Comixology, because then I have to figure out how I'm paying for it and blah, 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 and I'm not doing that.
I really like it.
It looks like a book I want. It looks good. I think
what is it?
Cool.
What is it?
Darwin Cook and
Gilbert Hernandez.
Never heard
of, but it's their creation.
Oh, Gilbert Hernandez from the Hernandez brothers or the Hermanos Hernandez.
Yeah.
No idea what you're talking about.
Oh, what was the book they did? Big indie book from the late 80s, early 90s.
Rockets something? Lovin' Rockets?
Lovin' Rockets, very good, thank you. Yes,
that's who? Okay. Yep. I had no idea that's who they were. No, I really like, of course, I like, it's Cook's art. Because that came in the mail the other day, that DC Comics work of Darwin Cook. Oh my God, that is a beautiful book. And he did a Legion story in Legion Worlds number 2. It's in there.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that. Yeah.
And basically, you know, he writes the introduction and he tells what some of the stories are, but most all of his work has been collected somewhere else. So this is like all the little itty bits and pieces, like 3 or 4 pages here, 4 or 5 pages there, all put into one volume. Oh, it is beautiful.
Is it just his DC stuff, or is it all
just his? Just his stuff.
No, man, just DC, or just everything?
Yeah, just DC.
Okay.
But yeah, it is a beautiful book, and my Hawk Guy omnibus finally came out, which I'm wondering if they really, the cover price on that was $100, but it's not that thick. I mean, I only paid 50 for it through DCBS, but my God, they charge a lot for their stuff. It's ridiculous.
They want your money.
Yes, they do. Let's see.
They got his money, Murray. They got his money.
Yeah, they do. They got me. They got my money. What was it? Last month before, the Volume 3 of Uncanny X-Men Omnibus was in there. I think that ended up being 60-something bucks with a discount. I'm down to only buying one thing, though, a month, usually, because of their... I get the books like that because it's so much cheaper getting it then, right when they come out, than try to hunt them down on eBay. What else? Have we covered everything?
I echo with Murray that there's a bunch of DC stuff that has fallen off. Wonder Woman, Flash being up there. And,
I haven't read Flash in years.
And Superman's about to follow. Not action, or Superman, Batman, but the Superman proper is about to go bye-bye for me, because that new guy who's writing is shit.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Invincible Iron Man came out, which is freaking Bendis with his slow burn but awesome dialogue.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, so what did they do with Mary Jane? What's the big whoop-whoop with Mary Jane?
I don't know. It must have been in issue like 3, because I haven't read issue 3 yet. So.
I know what they did with Iceman, though. Did you hear about that?
Yes, they... Yep.
They gayified him?
Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm. Both of them.
Both of them?
Yep.
Well, the old one, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the new twist. The old guy's gay, too.
I did not know.
Oh, sorry, spoilers.
No, don't. It's just, I thought it was kind of cool that they had that split, that huge split in character development, which I thought was incredibly cool, given they were supposed to be the same guy, that one was and one wasn't. I think that...
I hadn't heard of that.
I think that would have been a more interesting route to go, but they did not. Sense.
Yeah, no, well, that would have been a cooler story to leave it like that.
It sounds like they kind of pussied out, actually.
So, I'm trying to think what else. I haven't read any of those. New books. I need to get some of them and read them. I was going to get Amazing Spider-Man, but the first issue was like $6. Yeesh. Even though it's huge. But I have, there was a sale on Mender stuff a while back on Comixology, so I got two other series he's done, volume ones, one called Low, another one called Deadly Class, still to read.
Is that the Joey Lawrence story?
I don't think so. Yeah, I got a big stack of stuff.
I hear ya.
Big stack of stuff. Yeah, that's funny, actually. Big stack of stuff on my Comixology account that I haven't read yet. I'm going to save it for the plane flights and stuff. So,
I don't know why that amused me. I'm sorry.
No, that's funny. So if we got everything tonight...
I think so.
Okay, good, because I really have to go to the bathroom.
Oh, that's that. Thank you, TMI.
Hey, sorry about that.
Whoa.
Sorry, didn't mean to show you behind the curtain, everybody.
keep it behind the curtain for just a couple more minutes, Chris. Yeah,
don't worry. Well, I mean, there is a trash can here, so if it gets bad. Hey, okay, we went there. Anyway, and check, please. I got a pack. I just realized I got a pack. Crap. I got to be up in 12 hours. Damn
it.
Oh,
God. If you fall asleep right now, you might just make it.
Yeah, I'll have to do that. Anyway, as always, you can send us an email at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com and let us know what you think. Or you can join us on the Facebook page and join the conversation. Let us know what you think there. Been doing good. Got a couple more people that weren't trying to spam us. It was good. Nice change. As always, you can comment on the actual episodes and let us know what you think there. And that is it for this week.
Alrighty.
And we are out.
Happy weekend, y'all.